the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
Fourth and final hour of the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI. Fitzy in the house. If you miss any of the program, check out the Rich Keefe Show podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, check out the Six Rings and Football Things and hashtag Dork as well. Plenty of time for your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Why don't we dive right back to the calls, Fitzy? We have Steve in Northboro. Want to talk about the Celtics. What do you got, Steve?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I mean, I'm the biggest Celtics fan in the world, but, like, how many times have we seen a team go on the road and the home team, all of a sudden, all their role players step up? Like, Kyrie could go nuts. Like, I don't know. Like, Porzingis is hurt. Like, I hate to be negative, but I could just see this easily being 2-2 back here in Game 5, and I hope it doesn't happen, but, like, part of me is just, like, dreading it.
Wow.
I don't know. Our role guys could go numb, and it happens. It happens all the time, but I'll hear your thoughts.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, Steve, and you might be right, right?
That's why they play the games.
But I would just say that the Celtics role players are like above that. Like, I get what he's saying. It's something that Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal talk about every time that they're on in a playoff series. They refer to them as the others, right? Like, every team has their one or two guys, and then it's the others. But in the Celtics case, isn't Drew Holiday and Derek White and Porzingis, let's assume he's out there, we'll see, maybe you're right, even like Horford, like they're so far above a PJ Washington and a Derek Jones and a Dante Exum, like it's not even comparable.
It's not close.
Yeah.
Well, it's not close. These are guys that could start, like a lot of the Mavericks I don't think would start on a number of other teams in the league. Whereas
no, definitely not.
Whereas Horford, Porzingis, Holiday, and White would start on over 2/3 of all teams.
Well, not only that, but then the guys
on every team.
Yeah, the guys that do start, like Drew Holiday and Derek White, and we've seen it with Holiday, but like their numbers would all be much higher, right? Like if Derek White went and played somewhere else,
left off the All-Star team, the other one's going to the Olympics in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I don't see it that way. Like we brought up earlier, the Celtics are perfect on the road this postseason. So sort of your point that like, hey, they go on the road and these guys fall apart. Nope. Now, I know they didn't go to like the toughest places in the world, but I would argue that neither is Dallas. And Dallas hasn't protected their home court like a great team either. They've lost a home game in every one of the rounds they've played so far. So I definitely don't see them winning two. I don't see them winning one, but I definitely don't see them winning two. And in a weird way, the Celtics shooting so bad in game two gives me even more confidence because I just don't think you're going to see that play out again. I think at least a couple of those guys are going to snap out of it. I don't think you're going to get – I mean, you go through, it was like everybody was missing shots. I mean, Tatum has had a poor shooting off postseason, but Sam Hauser, Kristaps Porzingis, and Peyton Pritchard combined – were 1 of 10 from three. The only make was that heave off the glass.
Oh, the glass from Pritchard at the end of three, yeah.
Jaylen Brown and Al Horford combined for 2 of 8 from three. Tatum was 1 of 7. So, yeah, I'm guessing they shoot a whole lot better than they did on Wednesday.
What is it that people think it's going to take from Dallas to be able to
just
stop the Celtics entirely? Like, it's not that the Celtics are overwhelming them. They are suppressing them sometimes with their excellent defense. But how are the Celtics just going to all of a sudden fall apart? Like, I'd like to remind everybody that, yes, they do have their own recent history to compete against that is chasing them as well with the half-assed efforts and being dogged by Miami and Jimmy Butler last year and losing a finals. They were up 2-1 and they had home court. Like there are reasons why all these Eastern Conference finals quickly becoming the Buffalo Bills of the NBA. I get it. But this team, this hashtag different here team, with the additions of the unicorn like Porzingis and a stud veteran like Drew Holiday, who plays every damn aspect of the game so well, they've lost since the middle of October when the NBA season tipped off. 20 games, 18 in the regular season, 2 in the postseason, which means they're averaging 2 losses a month. Are they going to now lose four of the next five games, people?
No.
Are people serious?
Yeah, because over that same time, they've won, what, 76 games?
They have won 78 games.
Oh, 78 games.
They are 78-20 since the season tipped
78-20.
They win four out of every five games, and now you think they're going to lose four out of the next five games? Come on now.
No. Plus, you could probably go through and pick through all those losses and see like how many times were they at full strength and things like that.
Those are all still things that they have to wear.
So, Porzingis, I'm not sure about. Now, I saw somebody posted, or I think he or the Celtics posted on Instagram, him walking without any kind of like wrap or brace or anything, but who knows?
But was it like a little bit of a ginger trot?
It was a photo, not a video.
Okay.
My guess is he's always got a little hitch in his giddy up, doesn't he?
Well, because he's the size of a giraffe.
Right, and he's running around the perimeter. Like, I don't think your body's meant to do that.
So what did he do? He definitely did look a step slower last night until they got him out of the game and got Horford out there. What do we think he did?
Hammy or calf? Like, I mean, worst-case scenario, it's the Achilles. It's the Kevin Durant situation. But, yeah, I don't know. And hopefully these 2 days off helps, but, like, I don't know. Even in game one when he was killing it, he's running up, he's blocking shots, hitting threes. You're watching it closely. Like, is he going to hobble off at any point? It's worrisome.
Well, you're always afraid the other shoe is going to drop with this guy because of his injury history and just how gigantic he is.
Yeah.
He seems susceptible to a calf, a hammy, whatever.
I agree.
I wonder if people, people were telling me that they were sort of like, they were emotionally hedging their bets and saying, like, I'm prepared for him to play a half a game.
Yeah, same.
And you've already gotten two out of him, so it feels like house money almost.
Well, that was the only reason why I wondered maybe Vegas knows something, because the Celtics are underdogs in the game. Maybe they know something about Porzingis. Even still, I'll take him. Even if I find out he's ruled out tomorrow, I'll still take the Celtics.
A 9-point swing to go from favored by 6.5 to down 1.5, like, that's a hell of a swing.
Yeah, especially after you won the first two. Now, I guess, you know, home to home, maybe that's 5 points or whatever. I don't know, but
big swing.
We've had a great night of callers. Let's continue that. Let's go to David in Florida. He joins us next. What do you got, David?
Good evening. Good evening again. I'm hoping tomorrow that when the Red Sox come back in town, I am just hoping that the Red Sox that the fans let John Henry have it, whether he's there or not there at the game. Because I'm just hoping that this is the beginning of the end for him. I mean, he already insulted the fans last week with some comments. He insulted Cora, and Kennedy insulted Cora a couple of weeks ago, saying that the team is underachieving. I mean, just this has to be the beginning of the end for him.
Well, and I bet it's not, but go ahead.
Do you think there's any chance that they'll fire Cora, too? I mean, if they're underachieving, then, I mean, or they're just too cheap to have to pay two managers.
Yeah, they're definitely not paying two managers, and I don't think they care enough to fire Cora. He's going to finish out the season, is my guess, and then he's going to sign some big contract somewhere else. You know, I was talking about
great immediately.
Yeah, I was talking about it with, I think it was Will Fleming during the pregame like a week or so ago. This Philadelphia Phillies team is a wagon, but if they fall short, you know, one of the first people you blame is the manager, and then in comes Alex Cora. Dave Dombrowski hires Alex Cora to take over Philly. That makes a lot of sense. I get the outrage at the John Henry comments, but part of me is just like so beaten down and numb to it. Like, I don't think he's selling the team. I don't think he cares about it a great deal. He's spending less money than he has before. He's like, I don't know why the fans care so much, basically, is what he said. But I don't see him selling.
Shame
he even
on
said
you, stupid fans. Why do you like your baseball team so much that you've grown up cherishing and
right.
following? And
oh, it was tough. Know. It was tough to read, but also, like, was any of it surprising?
No.
Yeah.
No, and I don't think they're going to can, unless there was an in-house, unless there were a cheaper alternative slash in-house candidate that they wanted to give a shot to and maybe do a 60 or 50 game trial with.
Veritech?
And promoting him. Maybe we're at Tech. I don't know. Somehow Tech doesn't seem as analytics driven probably as, you know, Breslow and everyone else in the upper management
of
the Red Sox and Fenway Sports Group wants him to be. Didn't they love, was it Chaim Bloom who loved Sam Fold?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still held in the high regard and good graces of Fenway Sports Group like he had been.
Possible. Yeah, that'd be a guy maybe. But I think Cora, you know, I don't think he wants to be here because he. Like,
it's going to be like this. Why would you?
Right,
want
exactly. Like, I think he's going to do whatever he can for this season's team, and I'm sure he likes the players. And he's trying to get the most out of the players that are the ones that are still healthy that he can manage.
Right.
But I'm sure he saw what Craig Counsell got to be a manager, so I'm sure he wants that kind of money. But also a team that is willing to spend money in a market that does care a lot about it, and that's not going to go anywhere. You say, well, why don't you give me like a real major league roster, and then I can. Maybe contend.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think he's here after this season.
I would agree.
I really don't. And
I would agree.
You know what
I also,
else is just as scary is the fact that if the Celtics sweep, it's going to be 2.5 months of Red Sox.
I know. And it's going to be like, I think more people would be on the Henry comments if it wasn't during the NBA Finals. I also think after splitting with the White Sox, who are atrocious.
They lost 14 effing straight games.
Yeah, they only won 15, I think, going into the series. They have the Phillies and the Yankees back-to-back at Fenway. This is going to be ugly. And starting
the dream could be dead before the kids are out of school.
Correct. You could see a lot of Phillies fans this next 3 days, too. And then a lot of Yankee fans.
I'm working Sunday 1 to 4 at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio.
Oh, boy.
Which means I'm going to get nothing. It's Yankees. So I'm just going to get nothing but 99 jerseys and just, hey, Yankees.
Yep.
We're probably not going to get the little nice surprise you and I got last year when we were doing the Jimmy Fontelethon through our see-through
oh,
studio.
Oh, my God. Forgot about that. That was surprising.
Talk about
surprising.
A couple of bombs over the monster.
I was not ready for that. Stiz, you missed a heck of a remote that we had.
Yeah, what happened?
People were excited. People were really excited to see us down there at Fenway.
People's shirts were literally flying off.
Flying right off their bodies.
Oh, it's like the Oilers.
It was. It was very similar. It was an Edmonton Oilers situation down at the Fenway Studios.
Yep.
Just pressed right up against the old
glass. I was like, Rich, I'm hungry, but I don't remember ordering the pressed melons.
They had a special that day, and there we were.
From Shaw.
From Shaw's, yeah. It's synergy is what it is. Well, good news for you. You've waited long enough. Grab Bag comes your way next. It's Rich Keefe. It's Fitzy. It's WEEI. But right now, here is Stiz with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up one last time with what's trending right now on WEI and WEI.com. The Celtics now only 2 games away from becoming NBA champions and raising banner number 18 after they beat the Mavs last night at the Garden 105-98. Jrue Holiday led the Celtics in scoring with 26 points. Jason Tatum was 1 rebound short of a triple-double, 18 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds. Luka Doncic had a game high of 32 points to lead Dallas. He finished with 11 assists and 11 rebounds for a triple-double of his own. The series now heads to Dallas for the next 2 games, the first of which will be Wednesday night, tip-off at 8:30. Here's Kristaps Porzingis speaking after last night's game about how he's feeling heading into game 3.
I feel good, feeling good. I don't think it's anything serious, but we'll look at it tomorrow and go from there, but all good, I'll be good.
Were you nervous when it happened? Were you a little scared?
No, I kept playing, you know. Some bumps and bruises happened throughout the game, but I'll be good.
Porzingis said shortly after that he will die on the court. The Red Sox had the night off tonight. They're back at it tomorrow. They will host the Phillies for a 2-game series at Fenway Park. The first game tomorrow night, first pitch at 7:10. Cutter Crawford expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. Rich Keefe will get you ready for the game starting at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual pregame show. Don't forget, you can catch the pregame as well as the game right here on WEEI or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Rich Keefe show, including Grab Bag, coming up.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy, WEEI, our only full tank program of the week, so we are making the most of it. If you miss any of the show, check out the Rich Keefe Show podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, a reminder, you can watch the show on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You get all the shows, from 6A all the way up until 10P on
all
those nights.
All the shows?
All the shows. Even Red Sox pregame is available on Twitch. We'll have pregames tomorrow starting at 6:10 for Sox and Phillies. A very good Phillies team comes to town. But in the meantime,
it's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
That's right. All the stories we didn't get a chance to hit on in the first 3+ hours of the program. This is a little bit different because Andy Hart was on from 6 to 8. Fitzy took over at 8 o'clock. So this is a topic we did discuss in the first half of the program, but I want to get your take on it. I feel like there's really only one side, but I'm still curious your thoughts. Caitlin Clark not on Team USA.
Yeah, that's a super stupid decision.
The dumbest. It's the dumbest.
And you know,
thing.
My favorite reply over the weekend was in putting out a single tweet about it, just saying what a missed opportunity this was, and doesn't matter how good everybody else is when you're trying to grow your game, the love of the sport. And you have this massive international platform and huge global audience that even if they only see her just a hint, a wisp of Caitlin Clark and what she can do, as we've been seeing more of it in the WNBA and obviously in college for years. So what? Because at least people will see her, her fans, that audience will start, they'll start tuning in. And now all of a sudden the Olympics have massive ratings. All these other women get attention. But instead, no, it turns into the petty, jealous, backbiting nonsense again. And I did hear, speaking of 6A to 10P and using the Odyssey app to check out all the other shows, I did listen to Goosh, the Greg Hill Show, a little bit this morning. And Coco had a good point about maybe it's a relief to some of the other players on the team, because even if Caitlin Clark's on there and she's not playing, now they're not going to have to answer questions about, like, what have you seen out of Caitlin Clark so far? Like, do you think she should get a chance to play? Like, an international media contingent may still be forced to ask questions about her, which could drive the Ionescus and the Taurasis and everybody else kind of bonkers. That said, I'm sorry.
I think they're still going to get asked about it.
Yeah. You know what? You are cutting off your nose to spite your own face. I don't care if she sits and rides pine the same way Leitner did
right.
on the 1992 Dream Team. He was there just because, hey, here's this cool college kid, and this is the first time we've done this. This is the biggest basketball player in the United States of America right now, and you choose to leave her off because it may make some of the other players feel uncomfortable and or it may upset Caitlin's fans. She doesn't get enough minutes. Grow up.
No, it's insane. I thought a lot about it. I don't think there's a single positive to take from it. In a weird way, maybe a slight positive for Caitlin Clark. She actually gets more fans because more people are on her side now. They're like, what the hell is going on? I guess, but that's not even really worth it, because you would grow the game. So many of these Olympic games or World Cups help grow the game. The Dream Team launched all these international stars years later because they watched the best players from America go over to Spain, play on the world stage, and then there was a giant boom. When the World Cup, Men's World Cup, was in the United States, they launched a league after that. Like, the MLS didn't exist until the World Cup was here because there were so many eyes on it. Everyone was like, holy crap, we like this. Now, the NHL, I don't know if they've fully maximized it, but they always get a little bit of a boost after the Olympics. When the NHL players are in the Winter Games, there's always a bit of a boost because the best of the best are there, and you see all those guys firsthand, and it's massive ratings for the Olympics and everything else. This was so dumb. They're going to win the gold regardless.
Nobody's won like 7 in a row.
Yeah, nobody's saying that she needs to play every minute or anything like that. Just have her on the team. I'm sure they would love it at opening and closing ceremonies just to have her there. There would be just way more buzz for women's basketball, which really, if you were power ranking the interest of Olympic sports in the summer games, women's basketball is really low, and it shouldn't be. Like, they're a wagon of a team. They blow everybody out. It is a gold medal. We love winners here. That is a guaranteed winner. But nobody's talking about that. It's all going to be about Simone Biles. It's going to be all about the swimmers are that emerge. It's going to be a little bit of men's basketball. It's going to be some of the weird sports. It's not going to be women's basketball. They're going to suffer because of this.
Yeah,
so
this is just I'm sorry. This comes across as super petty.
Yeah.
And I think it's a massive missed opportunity. I'm sure Caitlin Clark would have been glad to tag along And, you know, maybe in a blowout game where they're up by 35 over Lithuania or Australia, even though Australia is very good.
Yeah, here she comes. Fine. Yeah, plays 5 minutes.
Comes
whatever.
The final couple minutes. She drains two long threes. The fans get to see this sensation they've been hearing so much about. All of her fans tune in. Gee whiz, IOC. Do you get a piece of the USA Olympic jerseys? You don't think the Caitlin Clark Olympic jersey would have sold off the shelves? Oh, is everyone going to get the Brittany Griner one now? It's so dumb.
But they don't. It's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, you're right. The Caitlin Clark Team USA jersey. I mean, if her Indiana Fever jersey was the number one selling jersey on Fanatics.
Stinks.
That team stinks. And like Indiana Fever, what even is that? But Team USA, Caitlin Clark, oh, that thing would have, they would have sold out every printing.
And they call her on a bus the day after her trash fire team plays the biggest trash fire team in the WNBA, the Washington Mystics, I believe, in our nation's capital.
They had like three total wins and they had the place like banged out.
Mind. Well, no, Rich, they play, the Mystics play in an arena that seats 4,200 people. Because Caitlin Clark's team was coming to town, they moved it to the Verizon Center where the Washington Wizards play.
Mm-hmm.
Seats 20,300 people. They sold it out just so people could get a glance at Caitlin Clark. And you're telling me the next day these people were like, this is the right call, guys.
I can't even think. There's no other comparison to this. Like, I can't think of anything. Because it's not like there was a men's player who maybe wasn't one of the 12 best, but for some reason he was far and away the most popular. Like, that doesn't exist. Like, there's really no comparison. And even then, I would have been screaming for the same thing. I'd be like, well, why isn't that guy one of the 12 on there? Like, what's the harm in having that person be the 12th guy? Because even the men's team, if you look at the roster of the men's team, is that the 12 best American players? No. But it's the ones that they think kind of fit. Like, it's the ones that they're like, hey, this is who we're going with. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, even like you said, the dream team, they went with Leitner. They wanted a little homage to college, so they left off some guys like Isaiah Thomas because certain players didn't want him.
It was more players, like one guy had a heavy influence.
Certain players said, no, I don't want him.
They're not going to catch us. We're on a mission from
grab bag.
Your Boston Red Sox have the night off. They split with the Chicago White Sox, so they are back to 500 on the season, which is what they are. Now, I can't imagine next week at this time they're going to be 500, but that's why they play the game. So they have three with the Phillies, then three with the Yankees, and it could be rough.
Rich, who gets dealt first on this team? Is it
Kenley Jansen? I was going to say Chris Martin would have been a candidate for me, but now I think teams got to wait and see what he looks like when he comes back. I don't think they trade any of their starting pitchers. Like, you're keeping Tanner Houck because he's cheap and he's really good.
His stats, by the way, they're
filthy.
He's got a sub-2 ERA on the freaking Red Sox. Yeah. He's striking out a batter an inning. His whip is .9. This guy should be an all-star. I hope he gets legitimate Cy Young consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he wins, thereby basically it'll be a giant middle finger up to Henry and everyone else. It's like, oh, why do you guys care so much?
We care. You're trying to beat it out of us, but we care. Maybe like a guy like Rob Refsnyder, maybe he gets dealt. I think they're still like a month away from that happening, but because a lot of their other guys, you're not getting anything for these guys. No, it's probably your relievers, I guess, because the everyday players that you have are pretty cheap and under contract, right? Like, you don't have anybody. Like, it's not like Trevor Story's healthy and you could dump him off on somebody.
Nope.
But, yeah, that's the state of the Red Sox.
Grab, 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 grab bag, 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 grab, bag, 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 grab bag.
Stanley Cup Final, game two going on right now, where Edmonton has a 1-0 lead over Florida in the second period. Florida has a 1-0 series lead, however, in this one.
I do believe I heard earlier today you took in the bet Dozier.
That's right.
Connor McDavid to point and a half, over 1.5 points total.
That's right.
Did he have anything to do with the first goal?
He assisted on it. So,
well,
yes.
There we go.
We are halfway there. We are halfway home.
Now, I know the Panthers won the first game 3-0 Saturday night. What did you think of the Sam Bennett hit on Connor McDavid? Was that another one of those, like, one of the cheap shots where it's like, did you just crash into like our star player and try to punch him in the face?
I feel kind of like that. Like, I think
he's a dirtbag.
Correct. That part of me is like, I think we have PTSD from anything with Sam Bennett. So maybe I'm just going to automatically go the other way, especially when it's against Connor McDavid. But
the puck was nowhere near them.
Yeah.
Oh, incidental contact. I just want to know what it is he does. Like, what is so special that he gets all these exemptions?
I don't know.
From the referees. And I, speaking of sports questions, later on in Grab Bag, I sort of like a can I get a ruling / Little League Dad question of the week.
Oh, well, you know what?
Honey, where's my
grab bag?
What?
Where is my
grab bag?
Let's do that right now. What is your emergency question?
All right, so normally I know on Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock we do Can I Get a Ruling, where we ask the awkward questions and try to help each other figure them out on the other side. However, there is no Wednesday show, only time we can full tang it, and I've been one of the coaches. We have like 5 or 6 coaches on this, you know, 11-kid T-ball / coach pitch team, right?
That's a good ratio, yeah.
And just yesterday we played another team. Each team brought 8 kids to the table, right? We had a catcher, and then you have... usually you have a pitcher, 4 infielders, and then the other kids go to the outfield. Now, most kids aren't strong enough to hit it to the outfield. It's a lot of ground balls, a lot of nubbers, a lot of corkscrews.
Sure.
But you're supposed to, if I'm not mistaken, you play a pitcher, you play 4 infielders, you send everyone to the outfield. The other team yesterday decided to deploy a... Because the coaches, this is how freaking competitive these losers are.
What's the age again?
Ages 6 and 7.
Okay.
So there's a little pitching machine, and then the coaches pitch.
Got it.
And if you strike out 10 straight, miss on 10 pitches, they put it on the tee.
Okay. You got a good hack at it there.
Yeah, you got a bunch of hacks, sure. And then finally you put one in play, everyone hits, right?
Yep, that's fine.
So the other team's coaches decided to deploy a 7 infielder formation featuring 2 pitchers and a bonus fielder that stood on second base.
No, you don't have a bonus fielder. You don't have a short fielder. It's not softball.
Yeah. And so when we asked them, like, hey, what is this garbage? They were like, oh, well, we just figured, you know, you guys don't have a really powerful lineup and you don't hit a lot out in the outfield, so we would just play our infielders in to just keep the game moving.
No.
My
coaches, maybe let the guys get
a
hit.
I had to almost hold them back from starting an absolute rumble.
Or let the kids maybe get a hit. They have fun getting hits, and then they keep wanting to play baseball. Maybe do it that way.
3 straight rockets up the middle.
Right,
one hit second
there?
Base, and two of them went right to the kid that is terrible at fielding, but they just went right to him because he was standing on second base.
No,
and so all of our kids were kind of upset because they're like, "Coach, what did I do wrong?" And our coach is like,
"Nothing.
You did nothing wrong, Tyler. You did nothing wrong, Jimmy."
Yeah,
it was off. Like, and so the question is, like, when as a coach do you say something, even if you try to say it in private? When do you hold your emotions, and then when do you just like let it go?
That's a great question, because I'm just sort of getting into this. So my wife is coaching our 4, soon-to-be 5-year-old daughter's soccer team.
Okay.
And so I've been to a few of the games. And, like, that's very – at this level, it's very fine, right? They practice, and then they scrimmage.
Just a bunch of bugs chasing a light at that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but you could already tell some parents are more hands-on than others. And I'm just like, man, I'm dreading this. Because, like, it was such a big part of my whole entire childhood was sports and competitive sports. But you're right. You're like, the parents can just ruin it. And I think I would have a hard time biting my tongue on something like that. Like, again, I think...
You? Oh, God.
I would, because, like, and it's not... To me, as competitive as I am, it's not about wins and losses really at any of those ages. But it's just, like, what's fair and what isn't? And, like, are all the kids maximizing the fun they can be having?
Yeah, and also, auxiliary ruling. Can I get a ruling on... When the other team, obviously, you know, you have one coach who's pitching, one coach usually assisting the catcher because so many balls get missed, and a first and a third base coach. Uh-huh. Can I get a ruling on when the other team's first base coach calls their kid, since there's no umpire, who's out at first by 2 footsteps, easily, safe?
Yeah, you got to go.
What are we supposed to do? He immediately does, like, safe. And, like, the kid was out by a foot,
like,
step and a half. And he just thought, like, this will be good for his morale.
Like, buddy's not.
Just like it's good for morale to play a 7 infielder, 2 pitcher system so you guys can get all of our kids out.
So
now I'm pissed.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So now at that point, I don't know, you probably have to say something. And then if not, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And now all of a sudden every kid's safe on your end. Like, when the tables are turned, safe. Like, he was out by 2 feet. Like, well, so was little Timmy. So that's how we're playing.
I just don't. I'll never be able to write my mind to people being competitive with 5, 6, and 7 year old children as their pawns. I don't. I'll never understand it.
Yeah, because like, what's the satisfaction level there? Like at the end of it, you go home and you're like, yeah, we won that. The 6 year old game?
Yeah. And the worst part was the game began with the other team's head coach coming over to me and saying, hey, I know who you are. You're Fitzy. I love your stuff.
So you're already like,
and now I have to yell at you?
I'm kind of in, and now I hate your guts. Yeah. And now maybe he's listening. So shout out to that loser.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's.
Grab bag?
All right, so just in a couple of short days, as you very well know, Fitzy, it is Tom Brady Hall of Fame induction ceremony night. Some of the public details have been released. Bill Burr is going to be there. He's going to do a number at the beginning. Mike Tirico is going to host this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The press release I got said hundreds of former Patriots will be in attendance. Including on stage would be David Andrews, Drew Bledsoe, Deion Branch, Matt Cassel, Patrick Chung, Julian Edelman, Kevin Falk, Rob Gronkowski, Brian Hoyer, Dan Copen, Ty Law, Logan Mankins, Devin McCourty, William McGinnis, Randy Moss, Rob Ninkovich, Matthew Slater, Wes Welker, James White, and Vince Wilfork.
That is a cast of characters indeed. And I got to tell you, that is just the tip of the old Brady celebratory goat's iceberg.
So they say parking lots will open at 3, stadium gates will open at 5, and suggested all fans arrive in their seats by 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Jason McCourty and Dietrich Wise, bizarrely, will host a 5:15 to 7 o'clock red carpet show.
Alongside Patriots.com's Mike Dussault and WEEI's Nick Fitzy Stevens.
How about
funny
that?
How we didn't make the press release.
You guys did not make it. I've read it a couple of times.
Nope.
But you can stream it all on Patriots.com. So you go. So watch Fitzy. You go for Dietrich Wise, but you stay for Fitzy.
Good. So you can, because that
stream
was going to be my question.
Yep.
So even if it's after, if some of us have to maybe work that night, there's a Red Sox game going on.
I got to tell you, Stiz, forget Tom Brady night and forget Celtics game 3. Everyone's going to be listening. Don't press the wrong button.
Correct.
Everybody.
We're going to be up to our eyeballs in Red Sox pregame when this red carpet thing's going on.
I don't know. There may not have been another time where I am more jealous of our own Nick Fitzy Stevens here.
Yeah. That's going to be a good time down there.
I got a fancy, nice new suit and everything to wear.
Look at that.
Jason McCourty and Dietrich Wise, who is the nicest man on the New England Patriots now, and if not maybe ever, they will be doing like all of the upper tier guys.
I'll be interviewing
Wiggy
season
and
ticket
Fourier.
Holders. Yeah, here's Jermaine Wiggins. Stand by.
I'll get Wiggy and Fourier. Wiggy was all hyped up today. He's like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to get it. You know, I think I'm going to get an interview today, you know, when I go on the field." And I was listening and I was thinking like, "Wiggs."
That's me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
You got me.
Wiggy said he's going to bring in a bunch of Tom Brady swag to try and get signed.
Oh, Jesus.
How gross.
Why not, though?
Just disgusting. Yeah,
shoot your shot.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know, do what you got to do. It's going to be, it is honestly going to be a blast. I cannot confirm whether or not they'll have the game on afterwards on the Jumbotron as well, but if you're there.
Yeah, because this thing goes.
You may want to stay in the stadium a while longer, but also all those places, too, like Bar Louie, Harp, Citizen Crust, Six Strings, Wormtown, they're going to be banging with people just running right in for a fresh pint and the second half of the Celtics.
I was going to say, my guess is this thing ends right around halftime, don't you think? And then you'll have the second half for that. So that'll be cool. Another thing to break down.
All right. Belichick's going to be there. Rich, how great is that, too?
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm glad he is. I thought that he would be, and especially when he showed up to the roast, and even when Robert Kraft was there and they had that awkward exchange, like I was like, all right, Bill's definitely going to go to this.
Yeah, he has to.
Because everybody loves Bill. Bill's going to get the biggest or second biggest ovation that night.
We said on this very show months ago, he has to show up because he never, because of that garbage game in January, he never got the send-off, the farewell, the thank you victory lap from his proper fans.
Definitely.
He richly deserves. Grab bag.
All right, we have grab bag overflow, which we will get to, and we will wrap up the show coming up next here on WEEI.
If you missed any of our Patriots Monday and Friday interviews, go back and listen on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to The Rich Keefe Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of The Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
Back here on The Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy, WEEI, wrapping things up. Like I said, we had a little bit of overflow of...
Here comes the grab bag. Grab bag.
How about UConn coach Dan Hurley? There was, oh, is he going to go to the Lakers? Is he not going to go? He is going to go. A press conference here, press conference there. No. He is saying no to the Lakers and their $70 million. He said, I'm going to stay with the UConn Huskies. What do you think of that?
I appreciate a man's integrity and commitment to legacy, which is what Dan Hurley's going for, the back-to-back-to-back championships, of which UConn has an excellent chance. Said the family loves it there. Good for them. Okay, sure, they'll take about half of it in taxes and agent fees over the duration of that contract in L.A., in California.
Yeah.
That is so much money. Is that because he loves UConn, or is it because he's terrified of, like,
LeBron,
dealing with Coach LeBron, yeah, and Coach Bronny?
Probably that. Probably not. But I also feel like it's odd because I don't think there's a real downside to it. Even if he flamed out with the Lakers, he could bounce right back to college, and they'd be like, well, he coached LeBron James. Recruits, yeah, would be like, oh, you know LeBron. So like, he'd be able to get guys wherever. Hey, and the last time I coached in college, I won back-to-back titles. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't think
he's a
high-energy
guy,
like,
too. I'm legitimately surprised. $11.7 million a season,
yeah,
was not enough to get you out of Storrs, Connecticut, and into the bright lights of Los Angeles and Hollywood.
They must have a bag ready to give him for an extension or whatever he's getting. They're going to give him a huge raise.
They better be.
I mean, I would think.
Damn. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a grab bag.
Something you teased earlier in the night, Fitzy, you have recently rewatched perhaps the worst movie of all time.
Oh, yes, it's official.
Okay.
Last week, there was a conversation in a group email thread with some college buddies where somebody wrote, hey, did you guys see that Dabney Coleman passed away? Like, oh, man, Dabney Coleman. Oh, so many movies I loved him in. 9 to 5, a childhood favorite like Cloak and Dagger. And someone replied, and don't forget Hot to Trot. So now that planted in my head, and I often, after our shows, you know, have a few beverages, watch a movie, catch up on TV shows.
Sure you would.
Particularly if someone mentions an 80s movie, it's like, oh, damn, now I got to go watch that 80s movie.
Uh-huh.
I found Hot to Trot on some streaming service.
Good for you.
Rich, that is officially the worst movie that has ever been made.
For those that don't remember, is this the is this a Bobcat Goldthwait vehicle? Can I say that?
I don't even know. When I was watching it, my wife was watching it with me, and she's like, why are you watching this? And I was like, I don't know. I just can't stop. And she's like, wait, did people spent money on this?
I've never seen this. I've missed this along the way.
Oh, it's the worst.
Does he go full Bobcat Goldthwait?
Oh, yeah. No, he goes full Bobcat. Yeah.
All right. You never want to go full Bobcat.
Nope, can't answer anything like,
Here's another question.
He's the idiot son of someone who dies.
Okay, all right.
And then Dabney Coleman is like the stepdad. He runs a stock brokerage, and they try to buy him out of it. But he also inherits a horse that can talk.
A talking horse. Also, it's a Bobcat Goldthwait movie co-starring a talking horse. All right.
Voiced by John Candy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Oh,
my God.
Wow. I've never seen that one.
And the horse gives him good stock tips, so then he makes millions.
I'm looking it up now. It received 5 Razzie nominations.
Rich, can I tell you this? You, since you love these metrics.
I do.
Did you know this is one of the only movies ever made that has a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes?
Wow. An elusive 0.
The golden 0. It has the golden sombrero. It has a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, how could it miss? You have Bobcat Goldthwait and a
Dabney
horse.
Coleman,
yeah.
And a talking horse voiced by John Candy.
Oh, man.
Oh, and a talking horse that dies and turns into a talking fly voiced by Burgess Meredith.
Got it. Wow. That is a movie trivia bonanza right there. Wow. I did not see that coming. Hot to Trot.
Yeah.
That's it all. All right. I got nothing else to really say.
No, Gilbert Godfrey's in it. I mean,
he is?
Yep.
And even he couldn't save it.
Nope.
Sad. Speaking of movies, let's end on this. Last thing.
Grab bag.
Bad Boys for Life came out this past weekend. Number one at the box office. Some are suggesting.
How did it make?
Will Smith is back, potentially.
What kind of money are we talking?
Let me double check the domestic. I think it did really well all over the place, but domestically, $57 million.
Not bad.
Yeah.
It could be for him. Did you see that video of Will Smith exiting a theater, having secretly watched the movie with fans and then coming out and saying, glad you all like the movie, and they turn around, they hear his voice, and they freak out.
That was awesome.
And then he smacked one of them in the face.
Just popped right across the chops.
Actually,
keep
it's not
my movie's name out your mouth.
Actually, it's not Bad Boys for Life. I think they already wasted that title. So it's Bad Boys Ride or Die, which happens to be the fourth Bad Boys.
Oh, man, I'll choose Ride.
I don't want to die. All right, any day. I feel bad, though, for Martin Lawrence. I do think that something happened.
He said he's all right, right?
I know, but I know. Watch his appearances, and I just hope he's all right.
I do, too. But anyway, there you go. There's our only full tank show of the week. If you missed any of it, check out the Rich Keefe Show podcast on the Odyssey app. Fitzy, a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you, I believe, next month.
Yes, we'll talk to you next month as well, and I look forward to seeing one and many of you down the stadium Wednesday night for Brady night. Let's go.
Very good. Stiz, you and I are back at it tomorrow for a little Red Sox-Phillies action with your pregame coverage. So have a great rest of your night, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6.
She called me late last night, said she loved me so. Didn't matter anymore. I say she never cared and that she never will.
If you missed any of our Patriots Monday and Friday interviews, go back and listen on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to The Rich Keefe Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of The Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy, WEEI, wrapping things up. Like I said, we had a little bit of overflow of...
And here comes the grab bag. Grab, grab bag, 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 grab, grab bag.
How about UConn coach Dan Hurley? There was, is he going to go to the Lakers? Is he not going to go? He is going to go. A press conference here, press conference there. No. He is saying no to the Lakers and their $70 million. He said, I'm going to stay with the UConn Huskies. What do you think of that?
I appreciate a man's integrity and commitment to legacy, which is what Dan Hurley's going for, the back-to-back-to-back championships, of which UConn has an excellent chance. Said the family loves it there. Good for them. Okay, sure, they'll take about half of it in taxes and agent fees over the duration of that contract in L.A., in California.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is so much money. Is that because he loves UConn, or is it because he's terrified of, like,
LeBron,
dealing with Coach LeBron and Coach Bronny?
Probably that. Probably not. But I also feel like it's odd because I don't think there's a real downside to it. Even if he flamed out with the Lakers, he could bounce right back to college, and they'd be like, well, he coached LeBron James. Recruits would be like, oh, you know LeBron. So they'd, like, he'd be able to get guys wherever. Hey, and the last time I coached in college, I won back-to-back titles. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't think
he's a high-energy guy, too. I'm legitimately surprised. $11.7 million a season was not enough to get you out of Storrs, Connecticut, and into the bright lights of Los Angeles and Hollywood.
They must have a bag ready to give him for an extension or whatever he's getting. They're going to give him a huge raise.
They better be.
I mean, I would think.
Damn. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a grab bag.
Something you teased earlier in the night, Fitzy, you have recently rewatched perhaps the worst movie of all time.
Oh, yes, it's official.
Okay.
Last week, there was a conversation in a group email thread with some college buddies where somebody wrote, hey, did you guys see that Dabney Coleman passed away? Like, oh, man, Dabney Coleman. Oh, so many movies I loved him in. 9 to 5, a childhood favorite like Cloak and Dagger. And someone replied, and don't forget Hot to Trot. So now that planted in my head. And I often, after our shows, you know, stay up, have a few beverages, watch a movie, catch up on TV shows.
Sure you would.
Particularly if someone mentions an 80s movie, it's like, oh, damn, now I got to go watch that 80s movie.
Uh-huh.
I found Hot to Trot on some streaming service.
Good for you.
Rich, that is officially the worst movie that has ever been made.
For those that don't remember, is this the is this a Bobcat Goldthwait vehicle? Can I say that?
I don't even know. When I was watching it, my wife was watching it with me, and she's like, "Why are you watching this?" And I was like, "I don't know. I just can't stop." And she's like, "Wait, did people spend money on this?
Is
people,
he? Like, no, I've never seen this. I've missed this along the way.
Oh, it's the worst. It's so.
Does he go full Bobcat Goldthwait?
Oh yeah, no, he goes full Bobcat. Yeah.
All right, you like, never want to go full. You never want to go full Bobcat.
Nope, no, can't answer anything without you know.
Now, here's another
question. He's the idiot son of someone who dies.
Okay. All right.
And then Dabney Coleman is like the stepdad. He runs a stock brokerage, and they try to buy him out of it. But he also inherits a horse that can talk.
A talking horse. Also, it's a Bobcat Goldthwait movie co-starring a talking horse. All right.
Voiced by John Candy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Oh, my God.
Wow, no, I've never seen that one.
And the horse gives him good stock tips, so then he makes millions.
This, I'm looking it up now, it received 5 Razzie nominations.
Rich, can I tell you this? You, since you love these metrics,
I do.
Did you know this is one of the only movies ever made that has a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes?
Wow. An elusive 0.
The golden 0. It has the golden sombrero. It has a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, how could it miss? You have Bobcat Goldthwait and a
Dabney
horse.
Coleman,
yeah.
And a talking horse voiced by John Candy.
Oh, man.
Oh, and a talking horse that dies and turns into a talking fly voiced by Burgess Meredith.
Got it. Wow. That is a lot. That is a movie trivia bonanza right there. Wow. I did not see that coming. Hot to trot.
Yeah.
That's it all. All right. I got nothing else to really say.
No, and Gilbert Godfrey's in it. I mean,
he is?
Yep.
And even he couldn't save it.
Nope.
Sad. Speaking of movies, let's end on this. Last thing.
Grab bag.
Bad Boys for Life came out this past weekend. Number 1 at the box office. Some are suggesting.
How did it make?
Will Smith is back, potentially.
What kind of money are we talking?
Let me double check the domestic. I think it did really well all over the place, but domestically, $57 million.
Not bad.
Yeah.
It could be for him. Did you see that video of Will Smith exiting a theater, having secretly watched the movie with fans, and then coming out and saying, "Glad you all like the movie," and they turn around, they hear his voice, and they freak out.
That was awesome.
And then he smacked one of them in the face.
Just popped right across the chops.
Actually,
My movie's name out your mouth.
Actually, it's not Bad Boys for Life. I think they already wasted that title. So it's Bad Boys Ride or Die, which happens to be the 4th Bad Boys.
Oh, man, I'll choose Ride.
Yeah, I don't want to die. I'll ride any day. I feel bad, though, for Martin Lawrence. I do think that something happened.
He said he's all right, right?
I know, you watch his appearances, and I just hope he's all right.
I do, too. But anyway, there you go. There's our only Full Tank show of the week. If you missed any of it, check out the Rich Keefe Show podcast on the Odyssey app. Fitzy, a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you, I believe, next month.
Yes, we'll talk to you next month as well, and I look forward to seeing one and many of you down the stadium Wednesday night for Brady night. Let's go.
Very good. Stiz, you and I are back at it tomorrow for a little Red Sox-Phillies action. We get your pregame coverage, so have a great rest of your night, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6.
She called me late last night, say she loved me so. Didn't matter anymore. I say she never cared and that she never will.